to the Starry Eyed Podcast. My name is Brendan.
And I'm Jen. On this show, we chat about all things Williams Syndrome.
The ups and downs and what it's like living with.
And being a parent to someone with.
Williams Syndrome.
We're excited to share our community with you. Thanks for being here.
Awesome show.
Oh my god,
what an awesome story.
Wow,
I'm
mind blown.
Yeah,
really trying not to like get teary about it. It just like Jen was saying that like there, if whatever you believe in, like that force that pulls you together that guides a journey, right? Like that's definitely evident here in the story of her relationship with Mike. And oh my gosh, Mike,
Man, Mike was cool.
Yep. Yep. Lovely, lovely guy. And yeah, thank you to him and his folks for helping get all this set up.
Shout out to Cleveland. Shout out to Atlanta. Let's go.
I want to give a quick little shout out personally to Steve Lukather and Joseph Williams from Toto, who gave my son the absolute night of his life last night. We got to go see Toto perform live. It was an unbelievable set. And then we got to go backstage and meet them. And they could not have been kinder and just absolutely just blew his mind with, you know, just hanging out with him and talking and asking questions of him. And he was asking, you know, questions back and just really creating just what I hope is a friendship that lasts and kind of goes beyond beyond the concert. And Steve Lukather,
now you have to tell people how did this Toto meeting come to be?
Well, I mean, basically, I just, you know, my son's favorite band in the whole world is Toto. We dressed up as Toto for Halloween as a family last Halloween, and posted it on the internet, and the band liked it and shared it, and so then I reached out to their PR guy and said, hey, that, you know, my son, say, I don't know if you remember the Halloween post, but that was us, and we're gonna see the show when they come through Minnesota here. And is there like a meet and greet we could be a part of? Just so I would love to get a photo of Bennett. And I explained his love of Toto and him having Williams Syndrome and everything. And they said, oh yeah, great, cool. Yeah. They absolutely want to meet your son. And they, you know, said, so we'll have backstage passes for you waiting at the theater.
That's amazing.
And yeah. And they came in and they hung out and talked with him and photos Steve Lukather, one of the greatest guitarists in the history of rock and roll. After giving, there was a moment where he was just talking with Jennifer, my wife, one of the many Jennifers on this show. But yeah, talking with just me and my wife, and he just said, yeah, you know, I've always been and had an, you know, an attraction towards people who just see the world in a lot cooler way than we do. And I really loved how he phrased it like that. That just sees the world in a lot cooler way than we do. And this is my official announcement that I'm stealing that phrase from him. So you'll probably hear me say that. All right. So, I mean, this was a great show. We should probably just get right to it.
All right.
Thank you to Jen and Mike for being on the show and for sharing your story.
Oh my gosh, the best story. All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Hello, Jen, and hello, Mike. How are you guys?
Hi. How are you doing? Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Right on. You're welcome. So for those who don't know who you guys are, why don't you guys take a moment to introduce yourself and tell everyone about yourself and what you do for the WSA?
Well, First of all, I'm Michael Laddish, and I'm from Ohio, in Cleveland. I lived there for 26 years. I usually do. We usually have what's called a walk and run every year in Georgia, where I live, and it's really cool because we get to talk to people, go on stage and talk and everything. That's the biggest thing about it.
Very cool.
And then we walk and run.
Awesome.
I am 47 years old, and I live in a Flowery Branch at a place called Just People. I've been living here since 2011. We do all kinds of cruises. We do all kinds of, we have a day program. We have all kinds of stuff go on.
That's very cool. That's cool. So, from Cleveland. My stepdad grew up in Cleveland, and we went to Cleveland as a family last year. Cleveland's very cool.
Cleveland rocks.
Jen, are you from Cleveland as well?
That's how I know Mike.
Oh my gosh. And now you're in Georgia. Okay. So we.
Yeah. So it's like the coolest story. And we have been trying to do this podcast with y'all for forever. And so I'm so excited that our schedules, all the stars aligned, and we were able to share our story with you guys. So I'm Jen. I'm a mom of three. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, also not very far from Mike. I also am from Cleveland, Ohio. I have three children, like I mentioned. My middle child named Hadley. She is 12 in fifth grade, and she has Williams syndrome. I'm a busy working mom. I'm a teacher and my kids and a taxi driver. My kids keep me super all over the place. And yeah, that's a little bit of about me in a nutshell. But Mike and I are friends from high school.
Okay. So tell me about this, because I did know that you were from Cleveland. But I didn't realize that you guys were like friends in one area and then you both moved to another area. So like, okay, so first let's back up. I'm so excited about this. Okay, so Mike, you grew up in Cleveland. Did you graduate from school in Cleveland?
Yes.
Yes, you did. Okay.
Bowling High.
Okay, and that's how you met Jen.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and then who got to Georgia first?
I did.
I think I got there first because I moved in 2003, right? Because you were later than that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But my daughter's diagnosis brought us back together.
I know.
There it is.
And so you were in Georgia. Did you know that Mike was in Georgia too?
Not until my daughter got her diagnosis.
Okay.
So this is like crazy. Okay, so Mike and I graduated from Solon High School.
Correct.
The suburb of Cleveland on the east side, which if you're from Cleveland, it's east side or west side. So we were east side. Okay, Mike was a little older than I am. He had an older brother and then Mike, and then he has a sister that's actually a year younger than me. So I knew of Mike's older brother. I knew Mike, and I definitely knew his sister, who was a year below me, Robin. And I knew of Mike through high school. We were friends. He like coached, helped manage so many of the sporting teams at our high school.
You better believe it. I missed out.
Yeah. I, in fact, have my high school yearbook sitting next to me with pictures of Mike managing all these teams.
I can't wait to see this. Okay.
Mike can tell you more about what he did in high school, but everybody knew Mike. He was definitely the mayor of the school and the town, and everybody thought so positively and loved him so much. He was just so positively thought of, and everybody loved him and knew of him and all the things. But Mike, do you want to say a little bit about when you were diagnosed with Williamson?
Yeah, I was in my senior year. Robin was still with me because we graduated together, which is kind of rare. And my mom and dad went on, saw a 60-minute interview about Williams syndrome, and they thought I had it. And so the moral story is I took a test, and the fish test, and everything just came into be, I guess. And I found out I had Williams syndrome.
So how old were you? Were you like 17 or 18?
20.
You were 21. 20 when you found out. Oh my gosh. And it was just because your parents saw a TV, like a news article about Williams syndrome.
It was on 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you lived most of your like school life not knowing that you had Williams syndrome.
I always thought I had cerebral palsy. That's what it was always seen to be. And during my high school, during my senior year, that's when I found out, really. And so I kind of thought what to do. And so I went to my brother and sister and asked them, are you guys going to be upset that I have something different? And they said no. And it's been traveling ever since then. And I went to a convention in Detroit.
Oh, yep.
To learn all about Williams syndrome. I had a test where they put a huge dome type structure with water pellets on my head and they checked my brain waves.
Cool. Yeah,
I've done that before. I also wasn't diagnosed until later on. I wasn't diagnosed until I was almost 13. And usually people with Williams syndrome get diagnosed anywhere from at birth to 6 months, 3 to 6 months. But they did the testing. I went to the Nashville music camp.
Oh, fun.
And it was in conjunction with the Vanderbilt Kennedy Center where they did all the testing and they did the whole water pellet dome thing on our head and all different kinds of things. They made us listen to music while in an MRI scan and it lit our brains up like a Christmas tree. So it showed where different parts of the brain were working and lighting up and stuff. It was so cool.
All right. I have to go back to how I met Jen a little bit about me and Jen, because there's so much to it.
Yeah.
Like there's all of a sudden she had a girl and her girl had Williams syndrome. And Jen, can you please elaborate?
I would love
to. With me for a little bit on this story, because yeah. It's a cool story.
I would love to. So Robin and Mike graduated a year after me. So I was already at school. So I actually was not aware that Mike was diagnosed with Williams syndrome.
Right. And Robin is Mike's. Who's Robin?
Robin is his sister.
Okay.
Yes. And so, and I was friends with her and Mike as well. But because I had already gone off to college, I did not know anything about his Williams syndrome diagnosis because he got that. I would have been a freshman in college.
Okay.
And he was a senior. So I had never heard of Williams syndrome until my daughter, who's now 12, she just turned 12, at 2 weeks old, she was diagnosed. And at the time it rocked my world. I was horribly upset. I had never heard of this. And I thought the trajectory of our life was taking a 180 and from what we had envisioned. And I had a very hard time with the diagnosis, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And what saved me and my mental state, so I had been living in Atlanta at this point and, my parents were talking with people. They were still in Cleveland, Ohio at the time. And we were talking to, I guess my mom and dad were talking to some of our family friends about Hadley's diagnosis. And someone said, I'm pretty sure that's what Mike Laddish was diagnosed with. And so I'm like, okay. If Hadley is loved even 50% the amount that Mike Laddish was loved in our community, we can do this. Like, this is okay. This is going to be okay. And Mike truly changed my mindset when I found out that he had, it was Williams syndrome. My outlook for Hadley completely did a 180. Because he was just my hope and inspiration for how her life would hopefully be. So what happened after some people in the town that we grew up in mentioned that Mike had Williams syndrome, or they thought that's what he was diagnosed with. I found Mike's sister, Robin,
okay.
on social media, and I reached out to her and I said, this is so random, but I heard this. Is this accurate? Does your brother have Williams syndrome? Because I had never heard of this before. And lo and behold, that is what Mike has. And this is what is mind blowing. So we knew each other in Cleveland, Ohio. I had been living in Atlanta for 7-8 years at this point. And Robin said how Mike and his older brother Jay and his mom and dad are now living in Atlanta.
Oh my gosh.
And not only that, but Mike's parents maybe live 15 minutes away from me.
No.
Crazy, because Atlanta, you can say, oh, I live in Atlanta, but yet you could be 2 hours away. It's right. Like massive. Yes. So super, super close. So then I guess I reached out to Mike's parents and we were able to connect with Mike. And that's kind of how we reconnected, was through that. And then since then, sadly, we haven't had a walk in the past 5 or so years with COVID and all the things. But before that, Mike and I would see each other every year at the walk, and we would walk together. And there's this one bridge that would cause, it's not really a bridge, it's like kind of like a log or a beam. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Mike? That would cause me
it would cause him a little anxiety because it wasn't even and stable. And so I just, one of my favorite parts is like helping him every year. He like finds me and we walk that together and just talk the whole time. And we have a lot of high school friends that live in Atlanta now too. So they'll come to the walk and they love to see Mike. It's really cool. Like I was able to help Mike celebrate his 40th birthday.
That's right.
And yeah, so that's kind of like how we reconnected in a nutshell. But just once I heard that Mike Laddish had Williams syndrome, I was like, okay, we can do this, because he was so loved and embraced in our community. It was just incredible.
Hey, Mike, I'm just interested in hearing your story. So you were not diagnosed until 20. I'd be curious to like just hear, like, how was it growing up with a disability? Like you were saying that you were pretty involved in your school, but how was school for you? Did you have a lot of friends? Like, tell me more about your school experience.
My school experience was interesting. Okay. I really liked doing world history. I liked my, we had a disability awareness class that was way in the back of the school.
Yep.
So we were really like limited on what we could do. We had a cafe that we had pancakes and eggs and all kinds of stuff.
We made some really good breakfast sandwiches.
It was open to the public, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. And so you would work there?
Yes, I would be doing the eggs or pancakes or whatever.
Well, and Mike, you and I are kind of in a similar age range. So I'll be 46 this year. Jen, how old are you?
I'll be 45.
45. Okay. So we got 47, 46, 45, and then Brendan's real young. He's real young for the world.
I'm 37.
In 37.
August. Just 37. A baby.
I know. Just a baby.
So one of the reasons why your story, you guys, is so interesting to me is because like being 46, I grew up during a time where students with disabilities were not really a part of my like school, right? Like, I mean, I remember like seeing them, but like Mike, you were saying like the students with disabilities were kind of in a separate part of the school. And certainly they weren't going maybe to games or doing anything like to the extent that you did. So I find it cool that you were such a well-known part of your community, because we really grew up in an era where that was just starting to happen. So was it your siblings that helped? I know you're probably very social, I can tell, but was it your siblings that like helped foster your friendships in the community, or was that just like all you? Did you bring your siblings along? How'd you get to be so well known?
Well, because of my disability, there was a lot of people. But I'm a people's person first. Okay. And maybe that's why. We had a lot of stuff going on in the community. Like there's a big park in our former area. There's a big pool. We used to have a thing called Home Days.
Oh, yeah. And
it's a fair, kind of carnival. And I used to work that the whole time and getting to know all the people. I got to meet the mayor. I got to meet everybody, and I got to help the mayor out with re-election. And it's just, it's spiral. And then there was Rusty Bucket. which was a restaurant right near where I lived. And I used to hang out there, so I would make more friends and more friends. And it has continued to this day. They gave me one of the hugest parties I've ever had for leaving. When I left, it was a very hard time on me because I would have to move to a whole new place, state, new people. And it really has not gone away since I've been there. There's still people who love me there. I still talk to people on the phone from there. So I'm still loved.
Tell them about your best buddy, Eric.
Oh, my best buddy, Eric. It's just a person who I call on the phone. There's another guy named Jeff Yannick who I talked to. He used to be my neighbor. Talked to him a couple of times, but those are the only contacts I have from Cleveland.
So is Eric a friend that you grew up with too?
Well, it's more my brother and my sister.
Okay.
Because my brother to me is my hero. He is everything. He has meant everything to me.
Yeah.
And so has my sister.
That's wonderful that you're still so close with your family.
Oh, very close.
Yeah, we've talked about it on a few other podcasts. So my daughter, her name is Stella, and she's 13. And I think about her, everybody in our community, for the most part, knows who she is. And then I think about if we ever were to move, right? How we'd be starting all over in a new place. I'm curious, how you said that was hard for you. Did you move to Atlanta because of your family, or how did you guys end up in Atlanta?
Because my brother, he lived here too for a long time before I moved down here, over 10 years. And we had trouble finding all kinds of places, independent living.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so we moved here, and then my mom and dad were we just found this place called Just People. We'll try them. And everything has, since 2011, I've been living here and doing all kinds of things. My own apartment, my own roommate, my own sense of life.
Wow. So you've been living on your own since 2011.
Right.
Wow. That's awesome. And it's because you moved to Georgia, that you were able to find this opportunity?
Yes.
Wow. Do you live by yourself or do you live with somebody? Do you have a roommate?
Yeah, it's probably here with me.
Well, and I know, I don't know if you, do you have anxiety at all, Mike? Do you get stressed or scared about? Yeah. And I know that living independently can be a source of stress for many people in our community, as well as for people with other disabilities. So the fact that you've lived there for as long as you have, you must really like it, because
I like it.
If you wouldn't, you'd be out of there.
Right.
And did I hear, Mike, did I hear that you just recently got a new job?
Yes.
Okay, tell us about that.
I got a job at McDonald's now. And I do the front lobby. I clean it up. I mop it. I clean the tables, do the bathrooms. And it's just started last Thursday. So hopefully it goes well. I think it's doing well right now.
That's amazing. Where did you work before?
I worked at a place called Cracker Barrel.
We love Cracker Barrel. And we have,
you just dropped it casually, a place called Cracker Barrel. How long were you at Cracker Barrel?
For about, it was for probably 5-6 months. I guess they didn't make a lot of money. So they took me off and I just decided to go on another job.
So the time that you've been in Atlanta, have you always worked? Have you always had a job, or did it take you some time to acclimate to Atlanta before you decided to seek employment?
There was a couple years where I didn't work.
Yeah, probably COVID, I would assume.
Mm.
Yeah, COVID took my one job that I had.
But Mike, you also, are you still doing your bowling? There was a period of time where weren't you on a bowling league and acting or doing drama and stuff?
Yeah, I'm still on that now. I got to leave in 10 minutes from now.
Oh, you're busy. Okay.
No, you're so okay.
We got 10 minutes with you. So you do some acting, you do some bowling. Are you doing that in Special Olympics?
I sometimes do bocce.
Okay.
And basketball, but I didn't do it this past year.
I'm on the swim team.
Volleyball, but that was long ago.
Health team for Special Olympics, so that's cool.
Oh, cool, Brendan.
Well, since we only have you for 10 more minutes, I totally want to get to all of these fun things that Jen has to share with us. She's going to show us pictures of you in high school. I can't wait.
Well, they're group shots, so I don't know if you'll really be able to see. But of course, you know how at the back of a yearbook, it has like the last names with what page their pictures on. So he has like, you know, lots of pages because he was Mr. Popular. Let's find a good one. Okay, hold on. Well, here's Mike. I don't know if you can see right there.
Oh, yeah.
Once we're done.
I love it.
All right, here is Mike in the center of the basketball team.
Okay. Yeah.
Right there.
That you were the manager?
The manager. Here's another one. Manager of the football
team.
Nice.
Oh, I missed that, man.
I mean, there's so many more, but yes, he was just involved in so many different things. Do you remember that club, Mike? CEC?
Oh, yes. Council for Exceptional Children.
Children, yep.
I don't know if that's still around.
I'm sure there's something like it if it doesn't exist anymore.
It's just a club that we had.
Yeah. Can I share a couple things that his teacher said?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So, well, one of your peers said, I really enjoyed getting to know Mike during the school musicals. Solon's theater, Solon was a town that we grew up in. Theater program was very competitive because it was so good. And there are always bruised egos when cast lists came out. But I vividly remember standing with Mike as we were rehearsing a scene for Barnum. And every week he'd say, Karen, isn't this the most fun ever? Aren't you having a great time? We were literally pretending to move bricks from one side of the stage to the other, but Mike was having a blast. It was like a constant reminder in my ear to be grateful for the opportunities we had. And I enjoyed that show even more because of Mike. His positive attitude was infectious. I came home from college a year later to watch a football game. And when Mike saw me in the stands, he was so excited to see me. Hey, Karen, remember that really fun play we were in? That was so much fun. I think pretty much everything is fun when Mike's involved.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it.
And then Mike's middle school, and this is, I guess, intermediate, because we had a middle school and a junior high. So, like, this is sixth grade.
Okay.
His gym teacher remembers that Mike once kicked a home run when they played kickball and was absolutely ecstatic. When Mike started working at the Cleveland Clinic, Jim jokingly took to calling him Dr. Mike. Mike would always reply, I'm not a doctor. And that was from his gym teacher, Mr. Wallace. Do you remember him?
Oh, I remember him.
Yes. And then his art teacher at the same school, Mr. Samuel, remembers how enthusiastic Mike always was and how much he loved helping to clean the art room. At the end of class, he would ask if he could be the one to tell the kids to clean up. I guess you like doing that, right? Telling them. All right. And then his high school history teacher, Mr. Paradise, who was actually my tennis coach. He would sometimes run into Mike at the Cleveland Clinic. So what I love is not only does everybody remember Mike from like school, but then they got to see him in his professional life working at the Cleveland Clinic. Mike was so proud to be delivering the mail. One time they happened to be in the elevator together and Mike asked if Jim was there for the mail. And then the high school vice principal, Mr. Vodder, do you remember him?
Oh, gosh. I liked him.
Yeah. Said that Mike would stop by his office daily to check out his tie of the day. This Mr. Vodder wore a different tie all the time. He usually wore ties that depicted the Beatles songs titles, such as Two People Holding Hands or People Yelling for Help. And Mike was always really good at guessing the song titles. Some were quite hard, and he got almost all of them correct.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just put that out for a few people, and they came through with a couple of sweet memories, which was a long time ago for us. Fifth grade. And I think it's so great that these teachers still remember you so positively.
That's really special.
And for those that are listening, not watching, it's so like, Mike, you have such a like infectious smile, like your face just is lighting up listening to all those memories. And I can tell that just from hearing these stories that you were a very important part of your school community. And I think, like I said, I mean, going back to the old days, because that's we're middle aged now, I think.
We're from the 1900s.
We're from the 1900s, you guys. It's really a thing. But I mean, that's, I think, a rare, I think it's, this is rare. And I love the story of you and Jen being able to reconnect after how many years was it since you had seen each other? 20?
Gosh, that requires some math.
I know, we're too old for that.
I chaperoned a fifth grade field trip today, so I'm too tired to do that math. But
my 40th birthday.
Yeah, no, we've seen each other since, but I was trying to think between Hadley's, so she was born in 2012. I mean, it may have been 15 years, maybe.
That's a lot.
15 years between when we saw each other last? 15 years.
Do you remember, Mike, what you told Jen when she told you she had a daughter with Williams syndrome? Do you remember what advice you gave her?
No, I do not, because that was so long ago. But I do remember this. I went to a Braves game with Jen.
Yes.
And I got to hold the baby.
Yes, Hadley was she was little. She was maybe.
And my mom has a picture of that.
Yes, we'll have to resurface that. We'll have to find some of those pictures. So that was such a sweet moment when Mike got to hold Hadley at the baseball game. We had a Williams syndrome event at the Braves Stadium.
Right.
The old Braves Stadium.
I don't know why we haven't had anything in the last few.
I know. But the walk is coming back. The walk is supposed to come back this fall. I know everybody's been missing all the events. So we're trying to get some more on the calendar.
Good. Because I missed them.
Hadley's missing them big time too.
To talk in front of all those people.
Do you like talking in front of people?
Oh, yes. I can. My big goal is to be a motivational speaker. So I actually spoke at the opening of this place. So, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And Case Western and Solon High and a couple other Ohio State.
Western.
Theaters convention. I mean, you name it, I've done it.
I was thinking maybe Jen could remember when she told you she had a daughter with Williams syndrome, what you said to her. Do you remember, Jen?
I just think his attitude was just so positive about it. And just like, you know, I just remember, like I mentioned already, like being really upset about the diagnosis when we got it. And then just feeling like, okay, we can do this. Like when I found out that's what Mike had, and just praying that Hadley was embraced and loved the way Mike was in our community. And it just gave me such he gave me such encouragement and hope. And it was like, okay, we can do this. And I love too that Hadley, she actually, she's like bummed, so Mike will have to do a FaceTime together sometime, but she's like, she hasn't seen Mike in so long because we haven't had so many events and stuff like that, but she also loves Mike and knows exactly who I'm speaking about. And I just love that they have a little relationship
too. I miss you deeply,
me too.
I remember, so when my daughter was diagnosed, it was probably, oh gosh, it must have been a year and a half, maybe 2 years later. Meeting or somebody telling me there's another individual in your community who has Williams syndrome. And I was like, what? And I will never forget it. They told me that he was at the school, so it was in pre-K. He was an elementary student. And I reached out to his mom and she said, yes, let's meet. But I remember every day when I would pick Stella up, I would look for this little boy, and it's going to make me like a little bit teary. I don't know why, but I remember the first time I saw him and I heard his voice, and I knew just from hearing his voice that he was the boy. And then the confirmation. So then it was like weeks later that I actually got to meet him and his family. And it was like the first time as a parent meeting another family and a person who has Williams syndrome. It is a very, very special moment. And so
you're right.
It makes me so emotional for you too, that like you had such a great experience. Like you were like, oh, this person I know who I had a great relationship with growing up, like he has the same disability as my daughter. If I were in your shoes, I agree. I would feel very blessed and fortunate and be so thankful that that was what you had. That was the experience you had. Cause I know not everybody. Yeah.
No, it was amazing. And then the icing on the cake was the fact that they had just, you know, like a year prior, like we're now living in, you know, we had known each other in Ohio and now we're all living in Atlanta, not too far away from each other. It's just really cool. Yeah.
I want you to tell us about Hadley, like now fast forward, it's 12 years later.
She is a fifth grader about to transition to middle school, which is just crazy. She has really just rocked her little life, and she is, I would say, probably like a mini Mike. I mean, she is well loved, embraced in our community, and everything that when I think of Mike, Hadley is very similar. And I attribute a lot of that just seeing how involved Mike was growing up and just knowing that Hadley can do those kinds of things too. She currently fell a couple weeks ago at school and had to have surgery. And so she's in a very large brace because she had surgery on her elbow, but she's excited for swim team. She's involved with that. She does a lot of different therapies. Hippotherapy is her favorite. She loves riding the horse. She loves all things Mike had on when we started, his Georgia Bulldog hat, and she loves all things Georgia Bulldogs, especially the cheerleading squad. She's a little bit obsessed with them. She loves playing. She has been the whole time through school so far in a co-taught teaching environment classroom. So she is in a class with typical peers, with a general education teacher and a special education teacher, and has done very, very well. Medically, thankfully, her health conditions have been pretty mild, and cognitively, she seems to have fallen on the higher end of the spectrum. So she's just doing really well, but just really well loved, brings so many people such joy, and she's just such a gift to not only our family, but really the community as well. I will say now that she's getting to be middle school, things are getting a little harder and the gap is getting wider. And she's starting to recognize that gap. So that's hard to work, you know, that's hard as a mom to walk through that period as well as it is hard for her. But she's really looking forward to middle school, and she wants to join the cheerleading squad, even though she's not taking a cheerleading class or anything, but she's going to be a cheerleader and she's going to rock it and be awesome. Yeah.
She still loves octopi.
Orange has been her favorite color since she was little, and it still is. And the octopus has always been her favorite, and it still is. Maybe not as, you know, extreme as it was when she was younger, but she does love an octopus. What else? I mean, she's just a love, but yet she's very typical, like going through the middle school, you know, we're at the adolescent stage with puberty and all the things like the typical kids are going through, and the attitude is alive and well a lot of times in our house, and all the emotions are pretty big sometimes. And
were the teen years hard for you, Mike? Like, do you have like good suggestions for our teens? Like, how is it being a teen with Williams syndrome?
Oof. I mean, I had other people who had disabilities too, so I hung around with them and stayed with the people who had my kind of thing. See, people got to remember, I mean, I have this thing, I've had it for a lot of my life. Yeah. It does not defy who, I mean, it does not make me sad about it. It makes me happy that I'm loved, and everybody who I've talked about today cares.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get to the point where I was like, okay, this is a part of me. This is always going to be a part of me. There's nothing I can do to change it. And now that I look back on it, even if there was a chance that I could change it, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't have been able to have the experiences that I've had. You know, I wouldn't have been able to be on the podcast, be part of the board, you know, done the music camps and made the friends that I've had. You know, some of my friends I've had for over 20 years, and, you know, I wouldn't want it any other way.
Me either, because I'll just say this. I love my disability. I love Williams Syndrome. I love the things that I've learned. I know there's a lot of new stuff out there.
Yeah.
But in reality, I'm still who I am. But if I had to change it, I don't think it would work for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be the person who grew up in Solon that everybody knew and everybody treated with kindness. And it's amazing what has happened in my life.
Yeah.
Because of this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Very grateful, very humbled, very appreciative, for sure.
Well, Mike, it was great to meet you. I love your relationship with Jen, and I'm so excited to meet you, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Going to the convention soon.
Yeah, are you going to convention? Jen, are you going?
Yeah, I think Hadley and I are going to go for sure.
Okay. Yay, cool. I'll be there. Cool. We'll be there.
Mike, are you going?
To where?
Convention.
In Arizona?
I don't think so. I got to work. And I got things to
adulting.
Do.
Adulting is...
Yeah. Adulting, you know.
Well, I thank you all, Jen. I love you.
We'll put something on the calendar soon, buddy. Miss you too. All right.
This has been the Starry Eyed Podcast, presented by the Williams Syndrome Association. The show is hosted by Jennifer Keaton and Brendan Lemieux, and produced by me, Joel Listman. Theme song by Tommy Barbarella and Mariella Elm. Got a question for the show? Email us at podcast@williams-syndrome.org or message us at the Starry Eyed Podcast page on Facebook. Video version of the podcast available on the Williams Syndrome Association channel on YouTube or on Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or comment on the video version and maybe it will be featured on a future episode. Make sure to like and subscribe to the Starry Eyed Podcast wherever you get your podcast delights.